And turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. My exhortation this morning is on joy. Because joy is such a wonderful test, a measure of how we're doing in the Christian life. It, I believe, is the great measure of the Christian faith, the bottom line, sum total of how things are going. It's good to kind of turn around from time to time and ask your family members, how's your joy? How you doing? Are you joyful? Come on, tell the truth. You know, if not joyful, it's easy to say, I'm not joyful. But if you have joy, it's just as easy to say, hallelujah, I've got joy. God has given me joy this morning. I'm feeling it, and I want to share it with everybody around me. Okay, so joy, is, you can lie about it, but I think we know when we're joyful. We know when we're not joyful. And joy is the great measure of true faith. And, you know, I think many of us are in the spiritual war, and it is hard sometimes to be the joyful warrior in the midst of the battle. But sometimes that seems an oxymoron. But if you look at joy in the right way, you understand joy to mean a product of faith and hope, then it's easier to understand what a joyful warrior looks like. Now, false joy is something you see all around you all the time. It's the drunkard who pretends to be happy. He's having a good time. He's partying his lights out on a Friday night or a Saturday night. You know these people. They show up on Monday morning with headaches and hangovers. Okay, you know them. There's false joy, as Leonard Ravenhill likes to say, entertainment is the devil's substitute for joy. Well, here are four reasons why joy may be curtailed in your life. And there are really just four sources of joy, as I found in Scripture, just doing a brief search for every mention of the word joy and trying to identify what produces joy in the Christian's life. So here they are, four reasons why joy may be curtailed in your life. Here's number one. First reason why you may not be as joyful as you'd like to be this morning. Here it is. Number one, you're not worshiping God. That's maybe the first reason why you're having a hard time being joyful on a Sunday morning or a Monday morning for that matter. So first reason why joy may be a real struggle in your life is that you're not worshiping God. You're worshiping yourself or some other God. God is worthy to be worshipped. Come back to that again and again. I know I say it almost every Sunday morning, because I just have to remind you of that. God is more worthy to be worshipped than the Seattle Seahawks. And that, I know that's hard for 50 million Americans to admit, because that's about as many as rooted for the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl. They're a football team, right? I wanted to make sure I get that right. I sometimes get these things wrong. Okay. The point being that if the Seattle Seahawks caused any amount of joy among 50 million Americans, then wouldn't you think that the Creator of heaven and earth ought to elicit just a little joy as well for what He has done? Because the Seattle Seahawks really haven't done all that much in the scheme of things. Come on. Have they done all that much in the scheme of things? They tossed a ball around a field for 14 games or whatever it is. They haven't even done the 60 games that professional baseball players do. Really, it's not that impressive. God is more impressive than the Seattle Seahawks. Here's Psalm 98, verse 4. I believe we're singing this morning. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. There's something about praise that elicits joy out of us. If family worship is more of a family time in the Word of God than a family worship time, then it may not be all that joyful. I've spent a number of days this week trying to whip my family up into a little more excitement and interest in worshiping the true and living God for the things that He has done. And we should be impressed with what He's done, certainly in His release of His people, His redemption for His people that He gave us at the Red Sea and then on to the cross of Calvary. See, when we ended the Family Economics Conference a week ago, I pointed out that there are different kinds of families. There are entertainment-centered families.
There are those families that are focused in on entertainment. The whole week is all about Friday night, TGIF. Okay? There's entertainment-focused families. Everything is about all the latest DVDs. Everything's about the latest entertainment, the vacation, the counting down of days until vacation happens. There are entertainment-centered families. There are academic-centered families focused in on academics. Academics, academics, and academics. That's what life is all about. And those families usually are connected to the work-centered families. But as Christian families, we can't be entertainment-centered. We cannot be academic-centered. We cannot be work-centered. We must be worship-centered families. So ask yourself, is your family a worship-centered family? Is it all about coming together in the morning, 8 a.m., and then again at 6 p.m., and then again at 9 p.m., whatever it is, whatever your schedule is, for coming together, singing the hymns, singing the psalms, reading the Word of God, lifting the hands, a little praise and worship? Is that what life is all about? Is that what all the work, all the entertainment, all the academics, is that what it's all about, is in order to get to the worship in your home? So number one, first thing that produces joy in our homes is worshiping the true and living God. Number two, second reason why joy is curtailed is you're not seeking the presence of God. You may be seeking the presence of yourself. You may be seeking the presence of other people. You may be escaping the presence of everybody by escaping into another world through the electronic universe. But you're not seeking the presence of God. Now, here's a clear text, Psalm 16:11. Thou shalt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. In thy presence is fullness of joy. We're all after something. We're all seeking some fulfillment, some joy. Nobody wants to say, I just want to be the most despondent, depressed person on planet Earth. That's my goal in life. You don't hear that much, do you? Most people are after joy, ultimate fulfillment, and they try to find it in entertainment or whatever the world produces. But here's what God doesn't say, in the presence of Hollywood is joy forevermore. He says, in my presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. So if that be the case, okay, now listen, this is the Word of God. If the Word is telling you that the way that you are going to be joyful, the only way in which you will find maximum joy in your life is to find the presence of God, then what do? Seek the presence of God. And I think this is what happens. Some of us wind up in the pathway of sin. We wind up in castle despair, the castle despair with giant despair, and we're stuck in this dungeon because we took a sidetrack in our Christian lives, and there's sin in our lives that we have not repented of, and we have grieved the Holy Spirit, and we have a distance between us and God. And therefore, the time we normally spend in the Word of God and prayer is rather shallow, and it seems like the heavens are brass and God's not hearing our prayers. So what do? When the gates of heaven are shut, you bang on them. And you bang on them. And you bang on them. No, you don't take a break to watch a movie and enjoy a little entertainment on the side. You go back to the gates of heaven and you bang on them, you knock and you knock and you knock until heaven's gates open. And once again, God turns His face towards you and you find in His presence fullness of joy. Number three, third reason why joy is curtailed in our lives, it is because we do not see the true value of faith tried and faith tested. And this comes from our text this morning, 1 Peter 1:6 and 7. Take a look. 1 Peter 1:6 and 7, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Has that ever happened to you? Anybody this morning? A little heaviness, manifold temptations, boom, boom, boom. You've been under a lot of attack recently. Hey, there's two or three elders and a couple of deacons that referred to that this morning. So I know there's people today who have faced manifold temptations, and you know the heaviness of that manifold temptation. You know what it's like. You know what it's like when you're coming out of the closet, you've been praying for 4 hours and you're still not entirely relieved, and you're trying to smile for your family, you're trying to pick it up, trying to encourage their faith, little hope, little joy. You know the heaviness of manifold temptations, don't you, brothers? Okay, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perishes, though it be tried with fire, may be found to the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Paul said, or Peter says, this is where you greatly rejoice. You rejoice in that. Your faith is being tried. It's the faith that ought to give us something of joy to know that faith is holding, faith is standing, faith does not collapse under incredible weight put upon it. Think about the building that stands a 9.0 earthquake. Now that ought to make a civil engineer feel good about that. Okay, I'm just talking to Jim Mill right now. He's the only civil engineer in the whole operation. But if Jim designs a building that sustains a 9.0 earthquake, he's like, yeah, make it happen, baby. It's feeling good. If you're driving a truck, if you've got a 4x4 handling 20,000 pounds of rock, and you pull that over 7 miles of mud road, man, you're feeling good. Does anybody here relate to that? You're like, pfft. Now, it's not that it wasn't a little painful. It wasn't like it was, you know, a burden. It was hard and it was intense and you had to make it through the 7 miles of mud. But man, that 4x4 held the 20,000 pounds. That's cool. That's impressive. Faith that stands through hurricanes. Faith that stands and stands after a day of satanic attacks, and then a week of it, and then a month of it, and then another month, and another month, and it continues to stand, it continues to stand through all of the hard times. You step back and you got to say, that's impressive. When you see a ship making it through a 5.0 hurricane, and that ship emerges when all the others have shipwrecked, you're going, hallelujah. Why did that thing make it and all the other ships went down? It wasn't anything in the ship itself, but it was the grace of God. It was the fact that God gave you faith. If you look behind you and see all the distance you've made, you've gone through all the manifold trials and temptations, and you're still here. You've emerged. And people standing on the shore are watching this little ship is making out of that hurricane. They can't believe it made it through those 200-foot waves, but sure enough, they did. Wow. Reasons to give God glory. Reasons to be impressed. The faith held firm, held strong. And our response to that, brothers and sisters, ought to be gratitude and joy. Okay, number four. Fourth reason why joy is curtailed in your life is you're just not seeing the joy of your salvation. Look at 1 Peter 1:8-9. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We need the joy of Christ. We need the joy of faith in Christ, knowing what Christ has done for us, knowing where He sits right now, knowing what He has for us, knowing that these present trials are not worthy to be compared with the glory that waits before us. The joy of the resurrection, the joy of hope in eternal glory, these are the things that ought to set before us. Now, it may be that you are not able to see that quite yet. And the reason is this. The reason is that you've got to make it to the cross before you can see the glory on yonder celestial city. You have to make it to the cross. And you may still be 6, 8, 10 feet away from the cross of Christ. You may not have quite confessed your sins. You may not quite have received the forgiveness. Or you may not quite, you're this close. You've heard it, you've seen it. You've read it in the Word of God. You're this close, but you just need to grip onto that cross. You need to hold on to it. Grip onto the promises that God has given and trust in those promises. And now you can rest assured that God will restore to you the joy of your salvation. You have to make it into Psalm 51. Okay? You have to make it into Psalm 51. Ask yourself, did I make it to verse 1? Have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Have you made it that far? You made it that far. Have you really confessed? Have you sincerely believed and confessed
verse 1. Well, now you can make it to verse 2. And now you can make it to verse 3. See, once you've made it through verse 1, now you go on to verse 2. But if you haven't made it to verse 1 and 2, how in the world are you going to make it to verses 7 and 8? Purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. If there's no joy in your life, it is because you have not made it to verse 1 of Psalm 51. Sincerely confess your sins with us this morning. If it's been fake confession thus far, then it's produced fake joy. Y'all with me? Can't just paste that smile on your face forever and ever. Can't. Let's seriously, sincerely confess our sins this morning. This is me, Lord. I need your salvation. Forgive me of these sins. Purge me with hyssop. I shall be clean. Wash me. I will be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Pray. Heavenly Father, God, this is who we are. We're sinners that need Christ. We are sinners that need Christ. We are sinners that need Christ. Show us Christ. Show us your cross. Forgive us, O God, we pray, because of Christ. Now we take a moment to confess our sins.